الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لئن اجتمعت الإنس والجن على أن يأتوا بمثل هذا القرآن لا يأتون بمثله ولو كان بعضهم لبعض ظهيرا. In tonight's Taraweeh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a challenge and he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people that if all of mankind and all of jinnkind have to come together and they have to attempt to produce the like of the Quran, then they will be unable to do so. It is mentioned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a Nabi, then the mu'jizat, the miracles that He sends them, sends these anbiya down with, are appropriate for that particular time. When Musa alayhi salam was sent down, then at that time, magic and sorcery was at its peak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him down with those miracles and signs that were appropriate to that time. For example, his asa, his staff would become into the shape of a serpent. When he would take his hand out from under his armpit, it would shine a bright light. Isa alayhi salam, at the time when he was sent down, then Greek philosophy and medical advancement was at its peak at that particular time. So some of the miracles that Isa alayhi salam was sent down with is that he was able to cure those who were born blind and he was able to cure people from leprosy. And at the time when the Mubarak Quran Majid was sent down, then Arabic, in terms of its eloquence, in terms of its poetry, in terms of its depth, was at its absolute peak. Poets would vie with one another. Poetry would be written and hung up onto the Kaaba in the time of Jahiliyyah. And at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down upon the heart of an unlettered Nabi who after 40 years of not having the opportunity to study reading and writing suddenly comes across with such eloquence that it can only be divine. So much so that the divinity and the majesty of the meanings and the words of the Quran was such that people became and brought iman because of this particular aspect. So in a verse of the Quran that we read previously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also places a challenge. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِ. That if you can, bring 10 verses. Or if you can't do that, قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Bring one surah and ask whoever you want to assist you, and you will never be able to do that. This is the majesty of the Quran. In Surah Bani Israel, tonight we read, and we will discuss some of the verses with regards to huququl ibad, our dealings with people and the rights that people have over us. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that if we take all of the commands of the Torah, and we condense them into these 15 verses, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us guidance on certain do's and don'ts, then the summary of the Torah will be found in these verses. Inshallah, we will only discuss some of them. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That, in addition to worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bringing iman upon Him, we are ordained to be good to parents. We are ordained to show them respect, reverence, kindness, goodness. Ulama mention that in two places of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His worship and His shukr together with the obedience and the shukr to parents. One is in this verse and in another verse, Anishkur li wa li walidayk. That you can be grateful to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to your parents. So this command, Imam Qurtubi mentions that it establishes the wujub, the compulsion to be good and obedient to our parents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that further to that, if one of them or both of them have to attain old age, what should we do? Not that we should not obey them before they get to old age, but in particular, when people reach old age, then sometimes they lose their senses, they go back to the condition that they were, and the Quran mentions this, that they go back to the condition that they were when they were children. So at that time, what are we ordained to do? We are ordained firstly, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. that you should not even show the slightest displeasure to them. Imagine the Quran is mentioning such explicit terms. Ali radiallahu anhu mentions that this uff shows the slightest amount of displeasure. And if there was anything further, so anything less, then the Quran would have mentioned it as well. Ulama mentioned that even if we hear something from our parents which displeases us, and then we exhale with a deep sigh, sometimes we do that, as an expression of displeasure, this is also prohibited. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا Do not scold them. That they may ask you the same question over and over again. And it is mentioned, Mufti Shafi Saab mentions, that when children fail to do their duty to their parents in their old age, that is something that breaks the parents' heart more than anything else. So do not scold them. And thirdly, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا When you speak to them, speak in a good way. Speak in a noble way. In an honorable way. Ulama mentioned that the way that a slave interacts with his strict master, that is how we should revere our elderly parents. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلْ And in addition to that, spread for them the wings of humility and mercy. That whatever it is that they request, sometimes it may be something that is against our tabiat, something that is against what we desire, but we spread for them the wings of humility and mercy. Of course, this is only with regards to those things that are permissible in Sharia. We are not allowed to obey la ma'asiyatil makhluq fi li ma'asiyatil khaliq. That we are not able to obey la ta'ata li makhluq fi ma'asiyatil khaliq. We cannot obey the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to certain things where we are going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also enjoins upon us وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ That those who are your near and dear relatives, discharge the right to them. In addition to being good to them, if some of them are in need, if some of them require assistance, then don't send your charities to different parts of the world without looking after the needs of these people. And these are day-to-day interactions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in here. These are universal commands which, if as a Muslim ummah, we take to heart and we follow, we will find that between the Muslims there will be love, and our character and our interactions will draw others to Islam. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali once mentioned that in order to win people over to Islam, we should exercise 90% akhlaq and 10% of preaching. At present, it's the other way around. 90% of the time we are preaching, but only 10% of the time we show akhlaq. So discharge the rights of those who are near to you. Discharge the rights of those and give to those who are poor, who are in need. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we should not squander our wealth. This is a very important thing, especially in our community, alhamdulillah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a lot of wealth. We should not squander this wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses two words in the Quran, tabzir and وَلَا تُبَذِّرُ That we should not squander the wealth, nor should we be wasteful in our expenditure. وَلَا تُسْرِفُ Ulama mentioned the two things. Firstly, one is to spend beyond that which is necessary. Spend on that which is beyond which is necessary. And secondly, when we spend our wealth in sinful avenues. This will fall under the category of تَبْذِير. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if somebody comes to you asking for something, if a beggar comes to you and you don't have anything, then don't rebuke the person. You send the person away in a nice way. This in fact was an incident that occurred when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would give to a certain person, but he knew that that person would use that money incorrectly. So then he refrained from giving that person, and this ayah was revealed. That if you refrain, that if that beggar comes to you at the street corner and you know that every time the beggar is here, and this has become a habit, and that the beggar is using it for incorrect means, perhaps to purchase drugs, etc., then it is not for us to show a displeasing face to the person. But just as we seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so should we be merciful to those people that ask from us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions, وَلَا تَقَرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا That don't approach zina in any form. Don't even go close to zina. We're not talking about actually engaging in it, but do not even go near those areas and those environments where zina is promoted. And again, we keep this theme in our mind that all of these prohibitions and all of these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are universal. If we were to apply them today, we would find that there would be a great amount of ease, blessing and contentment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that there must be moderation in your spending. That is, don't be too miserly, and at the same time, don't give everything away, because if you do that, you might not be able to bear the test that comes with it. That is, you might be weak, and once you give everything away, and you don't have the right level of yaqeen for those people who don't, then they will be unable to bear that test. It comes in a hadith that, al-iqtisadu fi nafaqa nisful ma'isha, that moderation in spending is half of livelihood. And this is something which is extremely pertinent to us today. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ, that when you engage in business transactions with one another, then make sure that you discharge your weights and measures correctly. Don't shortchange the next person. Somebody comes to purchase something from your shop, then make sure that you give them whatever it is that you're charging them for. In fact, if you can give them a little bit extra, that's even better. Because this particular aspect of shortchanging people in business, this was the trait of the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, which caused them to become destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to put these small items into practice. Little things which if we continue to put into practice, inshallah will be of extreme benefit to us. We also commenced Suratul Kahf. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life, we will commence the discussion of that tomorrow. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.